In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Radio show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, they hear the lamentation of the women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU FM McMaster Radio. And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet's price guide advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your astronaut oil drillers.
Defying the apocalypse and ringing in the 2013 for the world of comic books.
Yes, indeed we are. Chris, first off, I'd like to say...
Yes.
Welcome to 2013,
well,
my friend.
You. Yeah, welcome to 2013,
I'm
my
glad
friend.
You made it through to the other
I,
side.
I did. It was a little dicey near the end there, but it was all good.
Yeah, I got a little hairy there.
Yeah, I really did, but it's all good. How did you have a good holidays? Did you have a good Christmas and holiday break and New Year's Eve? And
Chris, yeah, I had it excellent. Obviously, you can tell from my...
Yeah, a little too throat, good, apparently, yeah.
A little too good.
Lay off the sleevo.
You and I took a few weeks off, a well-deserved rest.
Yes, absolutely.
After you and I helped CFMU win the radio,
all those awards.
Radio station
right.
of the year in
That's
Hamilton
right.
last year.
Yes.
For the second
well,
year
well,
running.
We needed a break after that. It was
we
a lot
did
of
need
work.
A break.
It was a lot of work.
And I'm ready to go. I'm charged up. 2013 is going to be a great year
this is going to
for
be the
comic
year.
Books.
Yep.
It's going to be a great year for local comic book shops. And it's going to be a great year for you and me, my friend.
Absolutely.
Sitting here.
Absolutely. You know what? I was just saying to you before the show that it's nice every once in a while when you get recognized. I was at, I'm not going to mention any names, but I was at a store in Limeridge Mall the other day. And it was just nice. Somebody actually came up to me and they said, "Oh, hey, I recognize your voice. You're the guy from the comic book show, right?"
Very
and,
good.
It was just kind of nice.
Did he ask for your autograph?
No, no. I just and then he punched me in the face.
Right. Hey, listen. We have to have goals.
That's right.
Something to aspire to.
Mine's a new dentist, apparently.
Yeah, right. Well, listen, he probably heard our last show.
Yeah, that's right.
Woo!
All right, well, we are here to talk about comic books.
Are
Walt.
We?
We are, believe
okay.
it or not.
Let's.
And let's talk about new comic books. As you know, every week on Wednesdays, new comic books ship out to all the local stores. And we are here to champion the local comic book store. So we are going to talk about the local comic book stores and what they're offering for new this week.
Today.
And that would be today. So new this week is brought to you by the Superhero Death Support Group. Has your favorite hero been killed or had their brain swapped with another villain? Well, don't worry. The Superhero Death Support Group is here for you.
A lot of people are calling right now.
Well, absolutely,
it's a
yeah.
Hot number to call.
The lines are hopping.
Yes, they are.
Sure. Especially with that brain transplant thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's let's start off with DC, and we're going to start off with Batman, and by Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, and Jonathan Glapion.
Scott Snyder, Chris, is that the guy that's directing Superman?
No, that's Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Is that his brother?
That I don't know. You never know. It's very possible. Right. You never know what could happen in the Hollywood.
I Snyder comics.
It's very possible. But as far as I know, it's not. But man, you know what? I got to tell you that Scott Snyder is does a great job in telling a Batman story. And Greg Capullo's art, awesome. I just love it. So this one is it's still part of the Death of the Family
right.
Storyline. Mm-hmm. This one's
very, very popular storyline.
Oh,
by the way.
Yeah. With
like smoking off the, you can't keep it on the shelves, Chris.
No, it's amazing. And of course, this one is no different. Batman is put to the paces again by his all of his nemesis. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's a plethora of villains in this one. I gotta say, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a really good book.
Excellent. So that's Batman, excuse me, number 16, Death in the Family continues with Batman number 16. That's at your local comic book shop today.
You know what we need? We need a good cough button. Yeah. If only we knew how to use this controls here that we have here. Right. But sadly, we don't. So let's keep on moving along here.
Let's fight through it, Chris.
Okay. Now, here's one that people have been waiting for a long, 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 long time. This is the Savage Wolverine number one by your friend and mine, Mr. Frank Cho. And he is the writer and the artist on this. The only thing that a guy named Jason Keith does the coloring, but wow, it's fantastic. You know, the first couple of shots has Shanna in it, the She Devil. It's got Wolverine in it. It's got dinosaurs. It's got like lots of great fight scenes. Oh, it's got what's that, Sauron from the Savage Land.
Right.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's awesome. I love Frank Cho's artwork. I think it is a great job. And for a guy that started out doing a Sunday comic type strip, Liberty Meadows, he's really transformed his artwork into some amazing stuff. Yeah, I see you're drooling a little bit
now,
over there.
Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You know, remember the old term, Chris, you're a romantic. I know you. I know you, Chris.
Okay, yeah, maybe.
You know the old saying, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
True, yes.
You and I both know that Hank Cho won't be able to...
Hank Cho?
Sorry, Frank Cho.
I love that
sorry.
Hank Cho.
Frank Cho won't be able to meet schedule.
No,
won't
absolutely
won't be able
not,
to
no.
meet deadline.
No.
You know, third issue in...
Yeah.
Cho is...
Yeah, it'll be the Savage...
the choo-choo.
Yeah,
you know,
it'll be the
gone.
Savage Wolverine by...
Francis Mann. Old or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know who, but my point is, yeah. Oh, this is awesome.
Yeah.
But he's spoiling us.
I know.
He's teasing us.
Yep.
Will he deliver?
I'm okay with that. I'm okay
us?
With that.
So you'd rather loved and lost
absolutely.
Than never loved.
You know
loved.
What? And I love how even turn to the very first page. The very, very first page is hold on, there it is. Oh, look at that. The very first page is a reproduction of a cover.
Right,
on the
yeah.
first page. So I don't know if that's telltale signs of not wanting to complete a whole book or not.
Well,
but
if he uses that ploy, he might have a shot to get to the fifth issue before he falls back.
You know, I love the guy's artwork, but we know he is a little bit slow. But you know what? I will wait for it because he's a great artist.
Yeah, what he should do is this.
What's that?
This is Frank, if you're listening, I'm going to give you a tip. Okay, take your old Liberty Meadows stuff. You know, all those scenes with the animals coming at Brandy and stuff like that. And just go, yeah, that's it. And then just redraw the faces
oh,
for,
you go.
Know, Wolverine
yeah.
and stuff like that.
So Wolverine might look a little more pudgy. Because,
yeah,
because
stuff
it's
like
actually
yeah.
like a pig.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
just
right.
cheat a little.
All right, fair
you
enough.
You can do it, Frank.
I'm down with that.
All right, that's hey, listen. Everybody's excited today. It's flying off shelves at all local comic book shops
yes.
today. Savage Wolverine number one.
Yes. All right. Now we have this is a great, great looking book. You know, this is The Black Beetle.
The Black Beetle.
The Black Beetle by Dark Horse.
By Dark Horse.
The Black Beetle by Dark Horse by an artist and writer named Francesco Francavilla.
Noir.
Right. No. Never His mind. Last name is not Noir.
Okay.
Francesco Francavilla.
I was staying on the black theme.
Oh,
dark
well, yeah,
theme
it's good,
there.
Yeah.
That went nowhere.
But you know
sorry.
What? You know what? It,
hello?
It's
sing a, on?
It's,
hello?
It's good looking book. You know, it has a great film noir. There you go. That's what you're looking for.
Thanks,
feel to it. And I love the coloring in it. It's got dramatic coloring. It's I love it. I you know, I don't want to give too much away. It looks it's got you know, if you can think about the Blue Beetle character, it's got those kind of Blue Beetle eyes, but it's got like a shadow.
He's got Blue Beetle eyes.
although his insignia kind of looks like a mouse, like a computer mouse
like
a little
a
bit.
Like a computer mouse,
like
yeah.
A, yeah.
Like a football, really.
No, so I don't know what it is. But,
maybe it's a rugga ball. Hey, listen, Chris, this is what concerns me with this book.
Okay.
You know that retro 30s pulp hero that has big leather outfit and got the big bug eyes.
The Shadow?
Like Shadow, but what's that Frank Miller? No, not Frank Miller. Who's the other guy, the Englishman that did good stuff back in the 80s?
The Englishman that did good stuff.
He did Swamp
80s.
Thing. He did,
Bernie Wrightson.
No, later on. He redefined Swamp Thing. Help me.
Neil Adams. Redefined Swamp Thing.
He did.
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore. Thank you, Jesus.
But Alan Moore's a writer.
No, I know that.
Okay,
but
all right,
in his in his Watchmen.
Right.
Who drew Watchmen?
Dave Gibbons.
Gibbons. You know, the owl?
Yes.
This guy looks like the owl.
Yes. It's right? taken a long time to get there, but yes.
Man, man. And what was that movie?
Watchmen.
What was that movie, Captain of Until Tomorrow or something like that, that Angelina Jolie was in or something like that?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
It's all the
yes,
same.
Yes,
it's
I know what you mean.
It's all that kind of 30s retro.
Yes.
A hero look.
Right.
Almost like Mystery Men.
Yes,
thing,
yes.
Right?
I see what you're saying. Kind of yes, yes.
So, I don't know. That's when I saw this, I kind of go, oh, they're trying this
you know,
again?
But, right? Well, you know, okay, fair enough. I will give you that, that they're going back to the well. However, you know what? There's a lot of good stuff that, you know, that hasn't been done before. It just because it's the style hasn't been done before doesn't mean it's not a good story. You know.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't a good story.
But I'm just saying, you know,
you're
like
putting words in my mouth.
Because you're saying you're poo-pooing it because it's a comic. You know, you can poo-poo every other superhero comic book out there.
Papa.
Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow.
Sky Captain and the World of
that
Tomorrow.
That was apparently
right.
the name of the
you're
movie.
You're right, Chris. I think, what's the publisher? Man, I just don't know anything, really, when you think about it. What's the publisher that does all the pulps? It's Dynamite,
does,
right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
Dynamite.
Yes.
They're doing a whole bunch of
yes,
pulp
they are.
Stuff,
they're doing
you know?
The Shadow
so,
and all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, Dark Horse
yes.
is like saying, hey,
well,
you
know, hey,
we
you
can
know,
do pulp.
Maybe they're keying in on something that, you know, people want something a little bit different. Because let's not forget that, you know, Darwin Cook did his, oh, geez. Now I'm forgetting things. You know,
Sky Captain.
No. You know, not Power. What the heck is it? Parker.
Right.
That was like a film noir kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, more
right?
50s, though, 50, right?
Well, yeah.
Late
but,
40s.
Yeah, but it's the same idea. Still kind of film noir-y and the same sort of thing. And,
right.
You know, I'm sure IDW will come up with something soon that has to do with, you know, a film noir type thing.
Chris, listen, I think we're spending a little too much time on the Black Beetle from Dark Horse at
yes.
your local comic book shop today.
Okay, that was the Black Beetle. All right. Next up, we've got now. I brought this up because I think it's interesting. Magic the Gathering, once again, it's a Magic the Gathering comic, and it's got that cellophane. I got that shrink wrap around the comic. So you get a free card, and you get a free Magic the Gathering card, but you can't see what the inside of the comic looks like.
Right. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
If you're a comic book reader and you want to think to yourself, "Hey, I've heard about this Magic the Gathering thing before.
Yeah.
I'll check it out." Oh, wait, I can't. It's sealed. So, I think it's a great thing that Magic the Gathering is putting out their own comic book.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't think it's a good idea to
seal their comics.
To seal their comics because now nobody can.
Hey, you have to believe in your comic.
Yeah.
I hate, Chris. I hate those shops, local comic book shops. Okay.
Yeah.
Guys, you're the local comic book shops. You are the guys. We're the front lines. We're the guys peddling this stuff
yep.
to the unsuspecting populace. Okay.
Yep.
So we need, if we trust in this product, don't shrink wrap your stuff. Don't put it in a bag and board and tape it.
Yep.
Let people peruse it.
They're
going to damage it.
It won't be mint anymore.
Yeah. But you know what? They're going to damage a small percentage of it, but you're going to more than make up for it.
That's right.
By the perusers.
That's right.
Hey, this looks cool.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And picking it up. And
yeah,
you're doing
so,
them a service.
As I said, you know, I think it's a great idea that they actually coming out with this comic. However, bad idea to keep it sealed up because, you know, I'll never get a chance to see if I want to buy it or not.
And I guarantee you something. If,
what's that?
If this card, the Void Mage Husher.
Yes.
If that ended up being a good card,
yeah, I think it's
playable.
I think it's mage, but anyways, go on.
Okay,
yeah,
correct me. Go ahead, Chris. Don't worry about it. I think you're going to see a lot of these torn cellophane things, you know, in the corner of your where the Magic the Gathering is. But anyway, Magic the Gathering number 2 at your local comic book shop today.
All right, and lastly, of course, we've got it's not. By Art Balthazar.
No. Why however, are you talking about it then?
However, for our kids' pick of the week, I've got Green Lantern number 10. And I don't know. It looks like a fun little book here. It's good. Looks like Green Lantern's fighting, I don't know, like space worms or something like that.
Space worms! Yeah, it looks terrible, that cover, really.
Well, I didn't want to say it's quite so bluntly like that, but, you know.
No, come on. Let's be honest, but maybe like a 6-year-old kid might like it.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's cool,
yeah,
right?
It might, right? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that's, maybe I just should just say, hey, Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Animated series number six, number
that's
10.
Right. That's right.
Is at your local comic book shop today.
All right.
And of course, that's just what?
That's just a small portion of the myriad of comics that have come out today. Lots of great stuff out there. Check it out at your local comic book store, because your local comic book store is championing the local community.
Yes.
All right. Well, here we have a little snippet. As we decided before, we would have always have a Krantz Spider-Man song with every show. Here it is, The Elevator.
Chris, it ended
that's
too
it.
Soon.
I know.
Like anything really good.
I know. It just
ended too soon.
I know. I'm sorry. It's little bits and bobs of Krantz. You know, it just you can never get enough of it.
You can never get enough. Listen, and it's a great segue into industry news, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it really is a great segue to industry news. Go ahead.
Oh, industry news.
I'll get that for you. I'll get that.
No, let me do this. I can do this. Industry news is brought to you by Superhero Butler School. Are you thinking of training as a butler for a eccentrically rich crime fighter? Learn how to have successful career ironing capes and sewing up bullet wounds. Enroll today.
Oh, you know what? That's very interesting.
Yeah.
There really should be more superhero butler schools around.
Now, I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. You know the Florence Nightingale syndrome?
Yes. Yes.
So I got bullet wounds.
Okay.
You're my butler.
Oh, boy.
You're sewing me up.
Yeah.
Is there a danger there?
No, not with me.
Whatsoever?
Not with me
okay,
whatsoever.
Okay, just check it.
Yeah, no, all we're right. good.
Okay,
we're good.
Good.
We're
right.
good. We're good.
All right, let's continue then. Let's
that's,
talk
that's
about.
That's all you wanted to know, eh?
That's all I wanted
okay.
to know.
Great.
Hey, let's talk about, Chris, very exciting news. 2012 ended at local comic book shops.
Yes.
With a flourish, with a bang, because a really big event happened, and that was Amazing Spider-Man number 700.
Absolutely. That was a huge issue.
Yeah.
Now, I think we can talk about it now.
Sure can.
It was well past.
Spoiler alert for anybody.
Spoiler alert if you haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet.
Okay. So for those of you who don't want to know.
Yeah.
Don't listen for like 10 seconds. But for those who do want to know, listen up. So here's what happened. Spider-Man's arch nemesis, Doc Ock, was dying. And because he's a mad scientist, in his dying breaths and his abilities, he switches his brains with Peter Parker's brains. And so the body of Doc Ock has Peter Parker's brains in it, and it dies, of course. And so Peter Parker effectively is no more. However, Doc Ock's brains gets put into Peter Parker's body. And so now we've got Doc Ock, Otto Octavius,
Otto.
Who gets to go around and be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So now, when all this was going on, this was a huge ordeal. And
people were ticked. They were pissed
off. Dan Slott was getting death threats.
Yes.
He was the writer of all this.
Yeah.
Huge, huge deal. Did it make people mad? Yes. Did it make people happy? Probably some people were happy about it. However, it did get people talking about comic books again in a way. It did stir up some controversy. It sold a lot of comics.
Sold a lot of comics.
Yeah, that's right.
Bottom line is, it sold a lot of comics. Now, Marvel, for our listeners that don't know, what happens sometimes with Marvel and DC as well to push local comic book shops? Because you have to remember, local comic book shops have non-returnability.
Right. So
if you buy 100 copies of something and you sell 7, you got 94 sitting in your basement.
That's weird math, but sure.
Okay.
I had one before.
I was just checking on you there, Chris.
All right. But they're multiplying.
But what happens is they'll offer like variants,
right.
1 in 50, 1 in 100, 1 in 200.
Right.
Now, the 1 in 200 are very rare, right? They're 1 in 200.
Right? What's the ratio on that?
I'm not sure.
How rare are they? Well, they're 1 in 200.
But so, you know, the store can maybe put a premium on that one.
Right.
So they'll go, I only need like 130, but I'll buy that one because, you know, the money I make on that one will make up for the extra that I
won't
sell.
Right, right, okay.
So shops bought into that for Amazing Spider-Man number 700.
Right.
And it was one of those rare moments where they're glad they did because even the regular issues ended up selling out.
So normally you might buy 200, you'd sell...
And you eat a few
copies. You might sell 130,
yeah.
You know, you got 70 left over, but you sold the 1 in 200 variant, which made up for the 70 that you
sell. Yeah, exactly. And you ended up ahead of the game by a bit by ordering the 200.
Right.
And you got stock for future giveaways or whatever.
Yeah. So you're saying that it was actually a good thing because people actually sold through all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually, you know... That book hit the news. It went on CNN. I remember our shop had that Steve Ditko 1 in 200 variant.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Steve Ditko was the man that co-invented Spider-Man.
Right. With Stan Lee.
Stan Lee. And this Ditko variant, I think we sold it for $200, Chris.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. No, we did. It was $200. And I think during that week, it was fetching, or the week after, it was fetching up to $1,000 on eBay.
Yeah, I believe that.
Just insane a demand for this variant.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's by Steve Ditko, right?
Fair enough. And so there was tons of excitement about it. But and then, of course, that led into the end of Amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, the title of titles. The title, like, I'm going to educate you a little bit on back issue comics.
Oh, all right. Okay.
The Amazing Spider-Man is the most collected title in comic book collection.
I believe that, yeah.
It out-collects Batman and you know, Fantastic Four and X-Men and everybody. You know, I'm talking, obviously, from the Silver Age and up.
Right, right.
Now, my question is, they're ending the Amazing Spider-Man, and they've started the Superior Spider-Man.
Right, right. Right.
With the number one. Now, and that was a huge success 2 weeks later.
Right.
My question to you is, how long before Marvel brings the Amazing Spider-Man back?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I don't know if they will, personally.
Really?
Know if they will. I don't know if they will. I mean, you know what? Maybe they will eventually, but it seems to me that the trend these days is to, you know, so they have Amazing Spider-Man, and then they're going to have Superior Spider-Man. And then they may go back to Amazing Spider-Man for a few issues, but then they might go, after 24 issues, after 2 years, they're going to want to relaunch something else, and then they'll call it, you know, the I don't know, Shaggin' Spider-Man.
Yeah, Shaggin' Spider-Man. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
I don't know.
This is what Marvel should do.
Okay. But like, you know, this is what they do.
This is what Marvel should do. They should pick a third one, and let's call it the Shaggin' Spider-Man.
All right.
Okay. And then what they do is they play with the number system.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's as point. Amazing Spider-Man, as the number system approaches 800, you know, 10 issues before, they switch it to Amazing.
Exactly.
And get to 800. And then perhaps, you know, Superior will get near 100, like 12 issues later. And then they switch the title over back to Superior for the 100th issue. And then Shaggin' Spider-Man will get to 50.
Yeah.
And so they switch it. And
back,
then that
back
way,
to Shaggin'.
Every year.
They've got a special occasion,
they're
right?
Shaggin', baby.
Yeah, that's right.
And that way they have a special anniversary issue every year.
All the time, that's right.
Why would you want to wait 8 years for a 100th
anniversary
when
you can do this now.
And you can cut it in the time in the third.
And do you remember for a long time, Marvel even had the two different number systems?
Yeah, Amazing.
On Amazing. Yeah. It was like the old one and the new one. And you're like, what the heck's going on here? All so
right. Okay, fair enough. That's I like your answer.
Okay. Thank you.
How about Peter Parker? Do they bring Peter Parker back? Because they've killed Peter Parker.
Well, I'm sure they're going to bring
Have they killed Peter Parker? Yes, they have.
Yes, they've killed off Peter Parker.
But they haven't because Peter Parker's body is still there.
Well, you know, that's a great question. And I'm sure they can always do something with the body, right? They can always find a way of bringing something back. You know, Superman never died, right? Peter Parker will not die. There's no way that Peter Parker will stay dead. It might be a year or two until he comes back. because sometimes comic companies like to keep these things going for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, because they want to make it a big deal for when they actually bring him back.
Sure.
Right? Like, if they bring him back now, I'd be like, oh, well, look at that. He died. No big deal. But if they wait 2-3 years and then bring him back, then it'll be a big deal. They can sell even more.
Because for Peter Parker fans, this is the second Peter Parker that's died.
That's right. Because you know, the first
a few
one,
years ago was the Ultimate Spider-Man Peter Parker,
right.
replaced by Bradford Marsalis, I believe.
That's right. Winton.
Winston Marsalis? What was the kid's name that replaced him? Miles Morales.
Yes, that's right.
Okay,
Morales,
sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yes.
But you know, so...
But you're right, and that brings... That's a great question, and that brings us to our next article,
yeah.
our next topic, that Ed Campbell wrote on Comic Book Daily, and he basically says, does Marvel hate Peter Parker?
Yeah, right? Ed poses the question, why all the haters at
because,
Marvel for
yeah,
Peter?
You're right, because, you know...
Come on, Marvel. This is the guy that did it for you. This is the guy that... Hey, listen, if Peter Parker is my lifetime idol,
right.
if only for the fact that he inspired the boys at Krantz
right. Absolutely,
to do
yeah.
that awesome do the, music,
that's
right?
And,
you know, I'm indebted to Pete forever.
But you know what? I think since the death of Superman, they've realized mm-hmm. that death comics really sell well. And I think that's what I think they're always going back to the well and trying to come up with another death comic and trying to, you know,
board meeting at Marvel,
yeah.
Chris. Board meeting at Marvel. All right, look. We can't draw boobs. They won't let us show a nipple. Sex sells, but I think death sells
death
almost
sells
as well.
As well. That's right.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's try death.
Let's
if
try.
We can't do nipples.
Who are we gonna?
We're gonna do death.
So who are we gonna kill off?
Yeah.
Well, why did you kill off the Kingpin? Nobody cares about the Kingpin.
Who are we gonna kill
off?
Who are
we gonna kill off?
I want something new.
And then you get, how about Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this guy's got it.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Didio, you got the job,
Mr. Anyways, I don't know if Marvel hates Spider-Man, but clearly they realize that they've got a gold mine with Spider-Man, and anything they do with him will sell.
Yeah, Chris, I'm still not convinced that, you know, tampering with Peter Parker. This is almost borders on sacrilege.
Right.
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 Because what happens is you have this conniving scientist evil guy that's now conflicted because he's within the body of a good person, so there's these you know, emotions and neurons tugging at
right,
him
because,
and he's
well,
trying to become a hero and all that kind of stuff, but that's not the guy I want to read about. I
no.
want to read about the pimply faced kid that's trying to get laid, that's trying to get a job, that's no good with girls. That's, you know, that's
because you can relate.
Yeah,
yeah,
thanks, Chris. But when I was a kid, that's what I could
No, I understand. Right. And you know what? And they've made it so now that, you know, not only did Otto Octavius is now inhabiting the body of Peter Parker, but they've made it so that he's now experiencing all of his experiences.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knows what all the troubles that Peter Parker has gone through in order to be Spider-Man, right? So
yeah.
Now he's like, oh, maybe I should be a good guy after all.
Maybe. Well, anyway, listen, the one more thing I wanted to say about this
yep.
is as a comic shop keep, kudos to all the comic shop keeps out there that can tolerate this start and stop.
Oh,
Marvel,
I know.
DC,
yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, comic shops are so good at what they do. Right.
Yes.
They have to. Write out these changes of directions and stuff like that. Can you imagine some big corporate guy for Barnes and Noble or whatever having to deal with? Oh, what do I do now? What do I do now? Comic
yeah.
shop keeps roll with the punches.
Yep.
They keep throwing us these curves.
Yep.
How much do I have to get to this next one? You know, who's going to buy
oh,
it?
It's
Are
constant.
People going to switch
yeah.
over? It's constant. We're getting really good at our craft.
We have to.
Yeah.
You have to
exactly.
in order to survive. Okay. Let's have a quick musical interlude before we continue on. And let's see if you know what this one is. I think we may have played it once or twice before.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time. The Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat. The Super Friends.
Thank you.
Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
Meanwhile, back at the radio show,
and banded together are two of your local nitwits, radio show hosts.
We're going to continue on with industry.
That's if Walt doesn't die, we're going to keep on talking about industry news.
We're going to talk about industry news. We're going to keep on. I think I have a sponsor. Hold on, Chris. Stall him while I reach for this paper.
I'll get it for you here. Go ahead. Industry news is brought to you by Canadian Whites. Interested in the lost history of Canadian comic books? Then head to www.comicbookdaily.com for more information on this important part of your cultural history.
Very well put. Canadian Whites are a very important part of Canadian.
We should talk about that one day.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
We will. All right. We just got to find somebody that knows something about them.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Let's talk about. So, I don't know. I mean, are you this type? Are you this type? Like, do you watch those game shows?
Game shows?
What am I talking about?
Oscars.
Oscars. Are they a game show?
Well, you know what? Some would say it is like a game show.
Okay. What's the word?
Award shows.
Sorry. Excuse me. So. The award show the Oscar nominations came
yes.
out. And there's just a big kaboo, a haboo. What's the word?
Hullabaloo.
There. About how all the great comic book movies of 2012
yes.
were shunned by the Oscars practically.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Batman never got a dinner.
No.
You know what I mean? Nothing.
Never got a dinner. Right? I like that. I got to say that from now on.
And
that's my new phrase.
Red buttons.
That guy, he never got a dinner.
Yeah. Red buttons. That's from the old Dean Martin Rose Scott. Anyway.
Okay, so hold on.
Where was I?
You're talking about the Oscars.
Yeah, and I think the Avengers got nominated for one sort of, you know, sound or
right.
something like that.
Right.
You know? these guys
visual effects.
Even, yeah, these guys don't even go up.
No.
They get awarded, like, in the afternoon.
The day before, or something like that, yeah.
Well, they're putting up the red carpet and stuff. They're handing
right.
these guys out. What do you think of that? I mean,
well, you know what?
Wasn't that long ago that Heath Ledger won an Oscar, didn't he?
Well, okay, so in Batman: The Dark Knight, Heath Ledger wins an Oscar for his posthumously for his performance as the Joker, right?
Right.
So clearly, it's okay to have Oscar-winning performances in comic book movies. Now,
wasn't Arnold nominated for Batman and Robin as Mr. Freeze?
Absolutely not.
No?
No, absolutely not.
I used to
but
see you.
But you know what? So the Avengers, which grossed like what? You know, what, $1 billion?
$17 billion.
$17 billion. Somebody must love it, right? People must like it. People must like it. So
yeah.
I don't understand why, you know, I'm sure Titanic got nominations,
yeah.
right? I'm sure
yeah.
Avatar got nominations.
Yeah, so populist movies get nominations.
Yes, but why
yeah.
didn't the Avengers?
Why didn't they?
The Avengers
I thought Hulk deserved a nod.
I thought he did a great job. You
yeah.
know what? I think really think he did. He should have best
got
supporting Hulk.
Best supporting actor.
Yeah.
yeah. I like that.
But you know what? So of the top 10 box office films, only 11 nominations were given out of the entire top
yeah,
10.
Yeah, but five of them went to
Skyfall. Skyfall.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that's not even a comic book.
Yeah.
Movie.
So then Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a comic book movie either. It's
got,
it's,
what,
it's
three?
Fantasy. Got yeah. three. So now that's eight of the 11.
It leaves three for what? Spider-Man, Avengers, Batman.
Yeah. And you know what
Iron
got
Man.
It? One got for the Avengers, one for Ted, and one for Brave, right? Mm. So Amazing Spider-Man, not so amazing.
Never got a dinner.
Dark Knight Rises, never rose to the occasion.
Got a dinner.
Didn't get a dinner.
Right.
You know what? So, you know what? I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why the Oscars likes to snub the comic book movies.
It's almost like, I don't know what it's almost like.
What is it almost like?
It's almost like they think that, you know, it's blasé, it's passé, it's over, it's over. It's, you know, but it's not. It's not.
That's right.
It's here to stay.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I'm sorry, but. If a comic book movie is made very, very well,
yep.
and if it's entertaining, and if you know the actors or supporting actors do great jobs on it,
hey, if you talk to anybody that has seen the Iron Man movies or the Avengers, mm-hmm. people will say that Robert Downey Jr. does an awesome job as Iron Man.
Absolutely,
he
right.
does a great acting performance.
Yep.
So why can he not get an Oscar nomination for his job in these movies?
I think we need to start a petition.
That's a great idea. Yep. If I can. cared more about it, I would.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Okay, but speaking of comic book movies, our good friend from across the pond.
I say.
Mr. Danny Champion.
Tip, old man.
Tip. How about a cup of tea?
How do you say Happy New Year in England, Danny? Top of the new year
how do
to
you. How do you say it in English?
Yeah. Top of the new year to you, old lad.
Anyways, he wrote a little article about comic movies coming out in 2013 for Comic Book Daily.
Yep.
And so we have top on the list, we have Man of Steel. Now, Man of Steel, like they're doing a rebirth, sort of speak, of the Superman movies.
A rebirth.
Well, a redo. Sure. Yes, that's what we're doing. A redo.
All right.
It says right here, potentially the true rebirth of the founding fathers.
Yeah, you know, if Danny wrote it, gosh, maybe it's a British thing.
Why is it? Can I not? Yeah. Why is it, I can't say rebirth, but top of the morning, chipper over here.
Rebirth. All right, you don't say the R. Apparently.
Oh, sorry,
that makes all the difference in the world.
Anyways, that's by Zack Snyder. That's coming out. And then we've got Iron Man 13.
Iron Man 13.
Iron Man 3.
Geritol years.
What were you going to say?
Never mind. No. Hey, the Superman.
Yes.
I was watching TV one night. And I was flicking.
Okay.
Because that's what you do when you watch TV, right?
Yeah.
You flick. And that last Superman movie was on.
Oh, the Brandon Routh one?
I think so.
The one with...
It was god-awful.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad. I mean, I caught it near the end.
Yeah.
And there was, I think the scene went on for 109 minutes, where he's moving some sort of island or something. He's lifting up
a piece of earth, and it's all the
melodrama music, and Superman is sweating, and it's like, when is this going to be over?
I actually forgot about that movie.
Oh, you know, and probably a defense mechanism from the body.
Probably, yeah,
you know, and that's how bad it was.
It's terrible.
I hope this one is better, is my point.
I hope it is, too, and I think it will be. I mean, it was done by a guy that knows a little bit about comic books. He's done The 300. He's directed Watchmen, of course.
Yeah.
You know, he's entrenched in the comic book lore, right? Good. So I hope he's on board with this stuff.
All right. So Iron Man 23.
Iron Man 33 is coming
out.
The
first Iron Man since the event. Sorry, that's obviously the first Iron Man, you dork. It's the first
Iron Man
Marvel
movie
since Avengers.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
Because Spider-Man doesn't count
because
he's with Sony or something
excellent work. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah,
the Spider-Man franchise is owned by Sony, so it doesn't really count as part of the Marvel
that whole chronology. Yeah,
that's right.
So it's going to be very interesting to see. You know, there's talk, you know, and Danny touches on it here. Will this be the last of Stark? You know what I mean?
I can't possibly see this as the last Tony Stark movie, the last Iron Man movie,
like of Downey.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah, I hope not. I do remember reading that now. If I'm correct, didn't he sign on to do four or five Iron Marvel movies or seven or something like that? And basically, after this one,
after this one, I think he's done.
Yeah,
and so he's going to have to renegotiate a contract.
Right,
but you know what? He's pretty well going to be in a position like, say, you know, Michael Jordan was after he won the championship and averaged 35 points a season.
Right.
You know, I have to sign a new long-term contract. You know, this is what I want.
Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want?
Here, we'll give you a blank check.
We'll give you a blank check. Yeah. So, but you know what? These guys, these artists, these actors.
He might be done
with
it.
They're a fickle bunch.
Yeah.
They're like pretentious. They're like, you know.
But sometimes they have fun with it. Like a guy like Johnny Depp has had fun with the Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, you know, he's an artiste.
Yeah, you're right.
He says, you know what, I like the character. It's fun to play him. You know what, maybe Robert Downey Jr. is thinking the same
I
way.
Hope so.
I hope so,
and
too.
And I think all comic fans hope so, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, how about Thor?
Thor the Dark World. So I'm actually really looking forward to this one.
Me too.
I think this should be a really good movie. Now, the thing I like about this one is the main character. I don't remember his name in the movie.
Thor?
No. No. What's that guy's name again in the Thor movie?
The Thor, we got a hammer.
He's got a hammer.
Don't hurt him.
Brother's Loki. What's his name again? Jeez, can I remember anything about that Thor movie?
Right.
No, the main villain is
Loki.
Is no, in this one it's a guy named I can't remember his name. That's the thing.
Galactus.
No. Anyways, he's played by a guy named Christopher Eccleston, who was one of the when the Doctor Who series first started up again recently,
right.
He played the new Doctor. So
okay.
he is a very well established actor. He's sort of been around for a while, and he's already got a fan base.
And is this villain a classic Thor villain, or is it like a later Thor villain?
I think it's like a lesser known Thor villain, if one at all. His name's like Malgroth or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Malgroth, yeah.
It's like he's a dark elf. Yeah, it's from one of the elf worlds.
Right. Oh.
So I don't really know that much about him. But
all right.
Anyways, I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
You've made this movie sound really interesting. Can't wait to go see this one. Starring what's his name?
That guy with the funny looking ears.
Okay, here's one that's got people talking. It's got people abuzz.
Right.
Is the Wolverine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, first of all, Hugh Jackman looks like ripped for this movie. He's gotten a shape more than the first couple movies.
Okay.
Right? And this is him going, this is a pure Wolverine comic fans. There's an era of Wolverine that's like heavy nostalgia era of Wolverine, that 80s one where he goes to Japan and all that stuff. And this tackles that storyline of him going to Japan versus the ninjas and all that.
So people are very excited
about
it. Should
this,
be good,
right?
Yes.
And I didn't like the first Wolverine movie.
Now, you mean the
Hugh Jackman Wolverine?
Yeah,
just
it was
the Wolverine.
Terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
I didn't like the first. I mean, it was better than Superman, the last one.
Yeah,
I saw.
You're right, but it wasn't that good.
It wasn't that good.
But
so.
I mean, Wolverine was good in the first couple of X-Men movies.
Yeah,
and honestly, I liked him. My favorite time seeing Wolverine in any movie was when X-Men First Class.
Yeah.
Really? Like, I mean, he was a little bit cameo, and I thought he was great.
Yeah,
you know,
fair enough.
But I do like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I see that Danny Champion here doesn't like Jackman as Wolverine. He says he's too tall and too nice to play Logan. Our friend Danny says he'd like to see either Christopher Nolan or Zack Snyder recast Wolverine as with an unknown actor, which it could be done. I mean, really, when Hugh Jackman first came on the scene, he was relatively unknown.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it can be done. But, you know, that brings up the same argument that you and I have had for a long time about characters versus the actors that play them and whether or not people can re-envision those characters.
I think, you know what, I think Danny wants is like a short, hairy actor.
Right.
You know, like Danny DeVito or somebody playing.
That'd be great.
That'd be great. All right, what's going on here? And he can play, you know, and he can alternate. He can play Puck in an Alpha Flight movie.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So you can, you know, go both ways in that way.
All
right, let's leave Wolverine. That's an exciting movie as well. And then Sin City. This is kind of cool.
Yes.
Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Is coming out this year too, and I personally loved that first Sin City movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I liked it.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? The actor.
Oh, jeez. No, not. Who's the other guy with Marv? The guy played Marv.
Yeah, Marv Albert.
Marv.
This is Marv Albert.
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke. He was great as Marv.
He was. He was very good.
And Jessica Alba was great.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And the way they did that.
Yeah, the stylist.
It was really kind of really good movie. I enjoyed that movie. I hope. What do you do in that situation, though, Chris? Do you go to the well again because that's what people expect? Or do you just throw something out of left field?
You know what? I would do a little bit of both. Go to the well. Go to the same kind of style. Go to the same kind of a few of the same characters. But maybe bring something new to the screen, you know, just so it's not. It's people who are going to see it. It's not something that they've seen before in comic book form,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what I would do. But what do I know? I'm just a radio show host.
Yeah.
Just
a comic book history professor.
Yeah. And then finally, we've got Kick-Ass 2 coming out here. Now, you know, Kick-Ass 1 surprisingly has a really good following. It's kind of become a bit of a cult fan following kind of movie. And you know, I thought it was just okay. I don't get what everybody seems to get out of the movie. Maybe because I read the comic beforehand.
Well, I honestly have seen. I didn't see the whole thing. I saw parts of it.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say, like, excuse me. What the?
You're gonna be all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got almost a Tarantino flavor to it. and the way the scenes play out, and the way, and I think people kind of like that, like you know, the scene with
it's a little bit gritty.
Yeah, and who's the guy that does the Ghost Rider?
Nick Cage.
You know, the scene with his daughter and stuff like
that.
You know,
you could.
I mean, each scene is kind of a self-contained movie in a way.
Yeah, okay,
fair enough. I don't know. People obviously seem to like it, and I hope. I hope Kick-Ass 2 succeeds. I hope all of these movies do well. I don't want none of them to be a stinker or a bomb.
No.
I think the only one that can afford to be, the only two that really can afford to be bombs are the bottom two.
Right, I agree.
Because the characters, there's not much vested culturally into the characters,
That's right.
But Wolverine, Thor, Iron Man, and Superman are too embedded in our pop culture for the movies to do poorly.
I can't see Thor, The Dark World doing badly.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude here. And here's something that I'm sure you've heard before.
Good stuff, Chris.
Hey. I used to love the old Spider-Man Amazing Friends cartoon.
Yeah, I remember the Spider-Man Amazing Friends. It's good stuff. Hey, listen, I think we're going to talk about it. You brought this up to me before the show. This is something pretty cool.
Yeah.
A new X-Men title coming out.
New X-Men title coming out in April, and this is the it's a women only X-Men title. So,
wait a minute. A women only X-Men title.
That's right. Marvel has announced a new X-Men title with only spotlighting female members of the team.
What's
so,
it called?
X-Men.
Good. Right. That clears things up. So, who's going to be in here? Like,
well, so you're going to get like Storm,
Rogue,
Psylocke. You know,
Psylocke.
You know, who knows? Jubilee, maybe.
What's the other one?
Emma Frost, probably.
Jean Grey.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, who knows what they're going to do, whether their characters are currently alive or not. Who knows?
Right. Now, how are they going to go? Like, Chris, I'm not good at this stuff.
Okay.
Are they going to go caddy?
If only.
Yeah.
I hope.
Are they going to go, you know, woman-only thing? Are they going to explore? Are they going to go down the lowest common denominator road?
No, I don't think they're going to. I think, okay, so women characters in X-Men have generally been pretty strong characters.
Right.
And let's face it, for a long time, the X-Men were the comic books that really brought female readers into comic book stores,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, of all the years I've been collecting comic books, whenever I talk about comic books, the X-Men are the characters, the books that that women often say, oh, yeah, I really like X-Men because they liked the strong female characters.
Strong female
and they liked the interaction with the guys and everything. It was a different type of book. And I'm hoping that, pardon me, I'm hoping that they're going to bring this book out for more female readers to expand the readership of comic books out there.
Now, do they go the route of female issues, or do they go just straight at them? This is a superhero book.
I think it's going to be a superhero book still.
I hope so. See, that's what I don't want Marvel to do. I don't want them to play off. This is the first, obviously, but only, and then they go with stereotypes and they go with cliches and they go with stuff like that.
Yeah, I hope not.
If they're going to do it, do it right.
I hope it doesn't become a feminist book.
Yeah, that
kind
of stuff.
Because then,
or a parody of feminist,
right?
Book,
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Or
tongue in cheek or catty.
Yeah,
exactly. I hope not. I hope that they're just going to make it a straight out superhero book with the same kind of like the way Chris Claremont would have written it, right? Because he's the one that gave all these personalities to all these great characters back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that they would kind of use that kind of recipe for great characters and great storytelling.
All right, so that is
the X-Men, women only.
Women only. It starts April.
In April, yes.
And it'll come out once a month.
Yes, it will. All right, so then we've got Warner registers new names for upcoming video games. Now, of course, we've often talked about Batman Arkham Asylum. And then they came out with Batman Arkham City. This was by Rocksteady for the video game kind of company. And now, fans are clamoring for a new for a new video game with Batman in it, because Arkham City and Arkham Asylum have done so well. Now they want to go back to the well and do another one. Well, apparently, Rocksteady's next Batman game would be some sort of we don't think it's going to be a direct sequel to those games, just like Arkham City was a direct sequel to Arkham Asylum.
Right.
They're saying it's going to go back, and it's now going to be some sort of origin type
like
game.
Like a prequel. Ah.
And now they've gone through and they have 14 domain names that they've already gone and registered so that nobody else can take them.
All right.
And some of them include Arkham Universe, Batman Arkham Arises, Batman Arkham Begins, Batman Arkham Dark Knight, Batman Arkham Origins,
Arkham Legends,
Arkham Stories, DC Arkham Universe, DC.
So they don't know what they want, and they're hedging their bets, and they're doing, you know,
they're
registering
gonna do
everything.
Yeah.
So what? Like, okay, Chris, you loved the first one,
yes,
Arkham Asylum.
Loved the second
you
one.
You loved Arkham City,
absolutely.
What would you want them to do?
You know,
you're a player, right? Yeah. What do you want them to continue, or do you mind them going back?
I want them to continue.
See?
Yeah, because you know what? The first one had to do with Arkham Asylum. So everything happened basically on the island.
Right.
And there was like this – it's basically happening in the asylum. And then they expanded it to Gotham.
Right.
You know what? I want them to expand it to like the entire world.
Or the U.S. and then the world. Or
because
something. Yeah.
In Arkham City, you know, Batman swings from basically from
– Swings, does he?
He sure does, baby. He swings from, from, what should we call it?
Ropes.
Like, you know, well, yes, but
trapeze.
From.
Help me out here, Chris.
Building to building.
Oh, building to building.
And he goes to, like, the amusement park and that kind of thing. And then in the other one, he goes into, like, the Bat Cave and goes. I want him to get into his Bat Jet and fly to, you know, whatever thing you need to go to next. And it's like a time racing game where you got to get there before time runs out. And you got to travel all over the world because the Joker has now come back again and he's now planted bombs all over.
So what's the deal? Okay, they have literally, they have a locked in customer
audience.
Base.
Yes.
For the next one
yep.
that goes from the asylum to the city to the world.
Right. Okay? Why not? Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's my question.
But I think what they're trying to do is maybe they can't figure out a story that's good enough to make it for the entire world, and they're going to say take a step back and say, hey, look, you know what? Let's just do a story that where it starts off with Arkham.
Perhaps they're building something towards then they do that.
Maybe,
right.
maybe that's
so
right.
they have to go back
that's right.
to set something up, so when they take that next step. It will work.
Right. And the only thing that I'm guessing that it's not going to be in some sort of universe or anything is that Paul Dini, who, of course, was the co-creator of Harley Quinn, and he did a lot of the writing for Batman, the animated series, and he is the writer for Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. He has not gone on to say that he's not working for this new video game, whatever it happens to be. So in which case, it may be a prequel because they don't want his involvement rather than trying to continue his storyline. It might be, even though it might be a prequel, it might be its own sort of separate story on its own.
I see. All right.
And the other thing is Mark Hamill, who plays the Joker, has gone on record as saying he will no longer do any more voices as the Joker ever again. So they might not be able to do an actual sequel.
Oh, okay.
Because
so there may be constraints.
There
to
might be
do
constraints,
a sequel,
right?
See,
even though we would love to see it, there may be constraints that you know Rocksteady is just like, hey, you know what? We can't work with this.
Chris, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
So if you got a great property
yep.
and you got this thing going on, this is a legal question, and I know you know law.
Yeah, it's me.
Can you get like a little, like a rich little type of guy? And mimic?
Sure.
Like the Mark Hamill
yeah,
voice?
Yeah, absolutely can. Because in the Batman, in the Lego DC Superheroes, Batman DC Superheroes video game, number two, there is a character of the Joker, and he does sound a lot like Mark Hamill's version
right.
of the Joker.
Right. So they consciously get a guy, hey, okay, Listen to Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Study Mark Hamill. Do Mark Hamill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can. There's no reason why you can't. I mean, it's a characterization. I mean, there might be certain characterizations that are like little influxes or whatever, the in ways of making changing it just enough.
Yeah.
That Mark Hamill can say, well, it's not me, clearly.
Right.
Right. So.
Right. All right.
Whether it's changing the laugh or changing something like that.
Ha! 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 Ha!
Ha! Maybe that's how she should laugh.
All right, Chris. Let's end it on a. I guess we should end it on a sad note, but we should report that.
Yes.
The Comic Buyer's Guide.
Yeah, that's.
I'm an old comic guy, Chris.
Yeah, I know you are.
And I used to love reading the old Comic Buyer's Guide.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like a monthly publication, and you know what? It brought the collecting world together.
Yes.
For decades.
Yep.
I think it started in the early 70s.
Right.
And I guess, and you know what? Back in the 80s, when I started into it, Chris.
Yep.
The Comic Buyer's Guide, the coolest part of the Comic Buyer's Guide, the reason why people went to the Comic Buyer's Guide, forget about the article about Batman by whoever, by Neil Adams. Or the interview. It was the back of the book, buddy.
Right.
It was, you know, the buy and sell, the
want-as, a little, hey, I got a collection,
hey, I got this, hey, you know, this and that. This is where that initial, you know, because there was no internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
This is where, you know, a guy, hey, I have comics. I sell comics,
yep.
You know, and this was kind of a known magazine.
Hey, I have often sent away for people's comic lists and things like that when I was younger, right?
Exactly.
You know, and that's what you would do. Somebody would say, send me your want list, and so I would send them my want
list.
And, that kind
and
of
the
thing.
Comics Buyer's Guide was like, it was binding the collecting community together back then. But along came the internet, along came eBay, along came this, and people were connecting online.
News forums.
And of course, the Comic Buyer's Guide would get a lot of their advertising dollar from people like, I don't know, like, let's say, Mile High Comics putting ads in the back of the book.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
But now they don't have to anymore because people were going online. And
Mile High can advertise them
on Google or something
that's
that.
Well,
yeah.
They just have their own website, right?
Yeah. And so, but not only that, and I'm not belittling the journalism.
No.
That went on in Comic Buyer's Guide too, because they ran some great interviews. They you know, obviously had access to all the great creators.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Neil Adams interviews and all that kind of stuff. And so it brought everything.
It was a great book.
Yeah,
great
and, book. And it ends at issue. Oh, so close at issue number. I think 1,799.
That's crazy. 1,799.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And,
well, you know what?
Alas.
Unfortunately, it had a good run. You know what?
This show right now.
Like this show has had a good run. Well, I like the show. It had a run.
Had a run.
Anyways, you know what? We wish them well in all their future endeavors at Comic Book Buyer's Guide.
Yeah. Chris, why don't you find that page where the end of the show
I'm right here. No, that's not it. That's the sponsor sheet. Hold on.
So anyway, I hope everybody had a great New Year.
I don't think you gave me one.
All right. Let's wing it. Comic Culture is produced by...
Oh, wait, here it is. Hold on. Here it is. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
We are so bad. Comic Culture is produced...
sure you don't want me to do
by
that?
By Anthony Falcone and engineered by young Mr. Andrew Roebuck sitting over to my left. For comments, suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add your comments. Also, check us out at getthepointradio.com.
All right. And remember, 2013 will bring great new beginnings for you, unless, of course, you're Peter Parker. Then you'll just be Doc Ock.
Right. And please go out and support your local comic book store.
And have yourself a great day.